Our first scripture reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, it is on page 122. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to the uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. And as I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles, and the repentance that leads to life."
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Revelation, the Revelation of John. It is the 21st chapter, verses 1 through 6. Let us listen with ears wide open to what God may be saying to us this morning. "And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The former heavens and the former earth had passed away, and the sea existed no longer. I also saw a new Jerusalem, the holy city coming down out of heaven from God, beautiful as a bride and a groom on their wedding day. And I heard a loud voice calling from the throne, 'Look, God's tabernacle is among humankind. God will live with them, and they will be God's people. And the God will be fully present among them. The Most High will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death, mourning, crying, and pain will be no more, for the old order has fallen.' The one who sat on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new,' and added, 'Write this, for what I am saying is trustworthy and true.' And then the one continued, 'It is finished. I am Alpha and I am Omega. I am the beginning and I am the end. To those who are thirsty, I will give a drink freely from the spring of the water, the life.' May we be blessed by the reading, hearing, and pondering of God's holy word. Time for me to be honest once again. I find the book of Revelation often to be a tale of exclusive salvation, of destruction, and doom. I struggle with it, and I will avoid it at all costs. And only God and the Holy Spirit knows why I chose to share a message on that passage today, but sometimes God and the Holy Spirit just kind of pushes us where we don't want to go. So I forsake the gospel according to, the reading from Acts, where the big picnic blanket comes down and we are to be gathered together, all as one. And the gospel according to John is more ethereal and circular, and we belong to God and God belongs to us, and God gave him to John and John, Jesus, and Jesus gave him back. And so I chose Revelation. I guess sometimes we just have to step into what is hard and uncomfortable. And yet, I sat with this reading this week. And it's a little less uncomfortable than I give all of Revelation 4. I think I start with the beginning of Revelation and get halfway through it, and there's just too much doom and destruction, and I put it down, and I don't get to the 21st chapter. But here in this morning's reading, one chapter from the very end of the Bible, we're given a different view. We are given a vision not of annihilation and destruction, but a vision of transformation. This morning's reading flips the script, if you will. After pages of chaos and collapse, we arrive here in a radiant vision of renewal, a vision of hope. It's not the destruction of the world, but the transformation of the world, a new heaven, a new earth, not to replace what was, but to redeem what was. A new heaven and a new earth. We end the Bible right where we start in the Bible. It echoes Genesis 1 and 2 in our creation stories, where God creates heaven and earth out of chaos. And here we are in chaos, creating heaven and earth yet again. This passage is not about fleeing to heaven. It's about heaven coming to earth, to us. And don't we pray that every week, on earth as it is in heaven? We say that at least once a week here in this building. I'm sure many of us say it multiple times during the week. And this is the vision. We hear something truly radical. God says, I am making all things new. Not some things, not just some things for some believers, but all things. God is making all things new. After all of the apocalyptic turmoil, the beasts and the battles, we arrive at a quiet, radiant vision, the new heaven, the new earth, a holy city descending, a new Jerusalem, Jerusalem being the place where everyone treks to worship God, God's holy city brought down, not our escape from the world, but God's arrival in it, not in the distant sky kind of God, but coming here, God here. God here and now among us. This is not an escapism story. This is incarnation. This is transformation. This is God moving into our neighborhood. And we are not waiting for a reset button or a mass eviction. We are invited into the divine process of restoration, one that includes earth and city and systems and our very selves. What a radical vision. Not a distant deity, but a present, indwelling presence of God. Not a far-off reward for the righteousness and the righteous, but a renewed world for all who have suffered under the weight of injustice, suffered under the weight of grief, those that have suffered with fear. Too often we read Revelation like it's a demolition manual, not a love letter. But the God revealed here does not throw creation away. God renews it, restores it, makes it new. God heals. And this is a radical, ecological, social space. If God is making all things new, that includes the environment, it includes housing systems, it includes schools and prisons and our relationships. Our oceans, our forests burn, our cities struggle under the weight of inequity. But the holy vision is not to escape. It's of God moving in, of God wiping away tears, God dwelling here with us today and every day. God is not giving up on us or the earth. And those are big, bold words that say that neither should we. So let's take a little bit of a deeper look into chapter 21. Right off at the beginning in verse 1, it says, "And the sea was no more." For the ancient world, the sea was a place of danger. It was a place of unknown. The sea that we hear of in Revelation often symbolizes chaos. It symbolizes empire. Think of when the Red Sea parted. It was about empire. It symbolizes fear to go out on the waters. It's a force that separates and destroys. So when we hear that the sea was no more, it's not about erasing the oceans. It's about removing the systems and structures that harm, that divide, and alienate. This is a vision of the end of oppression, of fear undone, of empires that thrive on domination, totally crumbling to dust. It's not a call to retreat to our own holy enclaves or our own personal reserves or areas. It's a call to dismantle systems of injustice so that the new world can be born. And in this renewed world, the chaos does not win. Fear does not get the last word. Division. Division between people, between races and ethnicities, between nations, between rich and poor, between queer and straight, between housed and unhoused. Be so bold as even say the divisions between Democrat and Republican, Libertarian or Green Party, does not define the final story. This is God's story. This is about belonging. It's about healing. It is about the withness that we have with God. Verse 3 says, God will dwell with them and they will be God's people. People, plural. A beautifully inclusive word to be plural with many. Not one dominant tribe or nation. Not one sanctioned theology or denomination, but people. Each culture, each identity, each color and tongue caught up in God's embrace. The phrase God's people, plural, matters. It signals the inclusion of all that have been pushed aside. All the peoples on the margin, all the people of many tribes, many nations, so many different expressions of humanity. This is the beloved community. If we were to look around, not a one of us is exactly like the other. We are beloved community. Even outside these walls, we are not one alike the other. Beloved community, diverse, gathered, and holy. God does not discard the world. God renews it. The broken is mended. The estranged is reconciled. The dead places bloom again. God is not far off. God's home is here with us now. But that also means that God is in the refugee camps, in the pride parade. God is in the hospital room, he's in the prison cell, and even in the classroom. God is in this nave, this room that we call a sanctuary, and God stands boldly out in the streets with us. This is not a gated heaven. It's a restored world where God opens the gates wide, on earth as it is in heaven. It continues on, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. This is not poetry of a distant heaven. This is a mandate for justice now. Wherever there are tears, in our racism, in poverty, in war, in climate collapse, God's desire is to end them. And we, as the body of Christ, are the hands that wipe those tears away. This is not passive hope, but active participation in God's renewing work. This is not a pie in the sky kind of place. This is God's call to partner with the Spirit in building a world where grief is met with compassion, where we abolish the conditions that cause unnecessary suffering. It's a call to be part of God's work of liberation, to fight against systems that profit from pain, and to cultivate communities where healing is not only possible, but where healing thrives. Revelation reminds us that we are not called to wait for justice. We are called to embody it. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of water of life. This gift is not for the perfect. This gift is not for the pure or the pious. It says this gift is for the thirsty, the weary, the marginalized, the outcast. This is grace without gatekeepers. In our time where access to resources, to clean water, to education, to safety, is so often determined by wealth and geography, this morning's reading offers a profound and sweeping vision. God's economy is based on need, not merit. It's not transactions. There's no qualifiers. The thirsty are not judged. They are quenched. Pure grace. God's grace. And that grace abounds for each and every one of us to carry and to share. This is not a distant dream. Revelation 21 is not a map for the future. It's a manifesto of hope. It's a call to live into the newness now. The work of the church is not to just wait for heaven. It's to co-create it here and now. Because the story does not end with destruction. It ends right where it begins, with newness. So let us be the people that say yes to that vision. Those who build communities where God is at home. Those who stand in solidarity with the suffering. Those who cherish the earth, the sacred trust. Those who believe that the gospel, the good news, is big enough to hold all people. It's a vision of what can be and what already is when we live in love. When we live in God's love. So let's live into this penultimate chapter of our Holy Scripture. Let us live like resurrection is already happening. Let us live like we become tear wipers and bridge builders. When we speak out for the earth, when we fight for equality, when we fight for equity, we love more boldly. We believe that God is not done with us. God is making all things new. In us, through us, around us. Not someday, but today. So may we live like all of this is true, because it really truly is. Our faith does not ask us to escape the world. Our faith invites us to help make it and make it true today and every day. Thanks be to God. Amen.